Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. It was 34 years ago today that I was ordained as a pastor, and I remember it. I remember it as if it was yesterday. I was wearing a pearl gray dress. It was in my neighborhood church, so all the neighbors came. Some of them had known me since I was a little girl. It was quite a festive day, and I was very excited. And I was especially excited to hear what my dear pastor and bishop would say to me. I loved him very much, and I admired him, and I knew he was going to give a really strong sermon. And I was hoping that he would talk about some of the towering figures of faith, like Daniel, who stood up against a despot king, or like Noah, or like Isaiah, or like the Apostle Paul, or the prophetess Deborah, or Moses' sister Miriam. There's so many strong characters in the Bible, and I thought surely he would choose one of them to exhort me. Boy, was I disappointed. He chose Timothy. Now, I've got to tell you something about Timothy. Timothy was a crybaby. I mean, right in the letter, Paul said, remembering your tears. Timothy had constant stomach aches. So in the letter to Timothy, in the first letter, Paul says, you know, you better stop drinking water, drink some wine for your stomach's sake because you have so many ailments. Oh, yeah, that's who I want to be compared to. And then he exhorted Timothy to keep persisting and be a strong leader because nobody was really paying attention to Timothy. He told Timothy, when people dismiss you for being young, you've got to stand firm. And so that's who he chose to talk to me about, was Timothy. I didn't really want to hear it, but now 34 years later, I think every young person who's being ordained should hear about Timothy. Because it was predictable within the first month of my getting out of seminary and being installed as pastor, boy, did I cry a lot of tears. Now, not in front of the congregation, I was tough. But the minute they'd all go home, I was a puddle. And I wasn't crying because of sorrow. I was crying in frustration. Because like Timothy, nobody really wanted to hear what I had to say. My first funeral, I came decked out in a clergy collar, all in black. And I introduced myself to the family. I said, I'm the pastor. And they looked at me and said, no, you're not. What do you do with that? The people that I was ministering with were very kind people, but they had heard it all before. And what could a 30-year-old tell them? And so they listened politely and went about their business. No one really withstood me. I couldn't be like Daniel. And so I was frustrated time and time again. Have you ever wept tears of frustration, where life just doesn't turn out the way you had hoped? And perhaps there's sorrow in the family, or sorrow in your job, or just general frustration with life. What do you do? And Paul tells Timothy what he needs to do. He said, you need to look at the people. Look at the examples that you've had. You had a strong mother and grandmother. Look at them. They endured. Being a Christian in those days was not for the faint of heart. And those women endured. He said, look at them. He also asked him to look at his example. And that is a thing that we need to do when we are frustrated with life, is not look at the people who've quit, but look at the people who've endured. And we gather examples around. And I had one such man in my church. Now, you have to understand the church that I was ministering with. Their heyday had been 35 years prior. They had had a minister who was with them for 30 years. Oh, he was a towering figure. Even though he was long dead by the time I got there, his name was continually on their mouths because he did wonderful work and the church thrived under his leadership. And 35 years later, the church was on a downward slide into oblivion. And I knew I could never match up with that man. But one saint of God took me aside one time and said, I want to tell you about that man's pastor. And everybody talks about him, and he was a wonderful pastor. He said, but you've got to know something. When he came, the church was in terrible shape, financially and in every other way. He had to take a job as a longshoreman in order to make ends meet because we could not pay him. And he said it wasn't until 10 years later that things started to turn around for that church. It took that man 10 years before he saw any good in the church. So everybody remembered the 20 years after that. But this man told me about that time and how this man had labored. And that helped me to stay the course. Paul also says you have to persevere, especially when the times are unfavorable. There'll be times that people will flock to hear that people are ready. And those are wonderful times. They're wonderful times in our family. They're wonderful times at work when everything's coming together. And that's easy to stay the course and be a Christian and do what's right. But we have to do what's right when the time is unfavorable. And we have to speak the word of God when the time is unfavorable and people don't want to hear. We still have to speak it. Or as a dear friend said when I complained bitterly and said, I'm taking the moving truck and I'm going to leave this area. And he said, no, you're not. Just be quiet and do your job. So, when you want to give up, just be quiet and do your work. Do the work that God has given you to do. Then I moved to another church. And this church, I didn't have that many tears of frustration. But when you live with people for many years, I was with them 19 years, and you grow to love them, even the crabby people. I loved the people in that church. And they do things like die on you. And that's an awful thing when you get to know people and then they shuffle off this mortal coil. And I remember one particular time, it was very tragic, very sad. A young mother with children died. And it was a preventable death. I remember the sorrow of her parents. I had to go with her husband to pick out her casket. Nobody tells you about those things in seminary. And I not only felt the grief of the family and the grief of the children, but I felt the personal grief that I had somehow let that woman down and maybe I could have done something. So I had guilt upon guilt and grief. And so as we're gathering for the wake service and we're doing all the things to prepare, I was a hot mess. I could not stop the tears. They continued to flow. Those were tears of grief. When I was at the wake service, one of my older members took me aside and said, helpfully, Pastor, you can't be doing this. And I'm saying, yeah, I know, I'm trying. But I couldn't stop. What do you do when grief overwhelms you, when the tears overwhelm our senses and we feel like we're paralyzed with grief? Have you ever had tears of grief that just wouldn't stop and you don't know how you're going to go on? Well, I'll tell you what happened. Paul says to Timothy, you've got to rekindle the gift within you. What is the gift within you? It's the Holy Spirit of God that gives us power and gives us comfort and gives us that sound mind that we need when we're overwhelmed with grief. So right before the service, I'm in my office in a puddle of tears, and the choir that's assembled is in a puddle of tears because many of them remember her growing up. And we could hear the sobs in the congregation. And I prayed. I said, Lord, I'm not going to make it through this. And I have to give a word here, and I cannot contain myself. Please do something. Those are the most authentic prayers, and God always hears. I walked out, and as I looked to the choir, every eye was completely dry. I felt as dry as the Sahara Desert. I couldn't have cried if I wanted to. And I was able to be a comfort and a presence to those people. Why? That was beyond me. Because of the Holy Spirit of God, who gives us the power to endure through our tears. So when you have tears of grief, rekindle the power of the Holy Spirit within, so that we can have power and a sound mind. God gives us that power. Then I came here. And I don't have many tears of frustration here. I think you all do. But I don't. And there have been some tears of sorrow, especially as I got to know you. And I remember I had done quite a few funerals of people I didn't know. And then the first funeral that was a person that I had gotten to know very well and had broke bread with and had wonderful conversations with. And I didn't realize till I was sitting here at the service waiting to get up to preach. And I realized I'm really going to miss her. And I started to cry. And someone after the service said, helpfully, Dawn had better cry when I die, too. But there are tears that I shed here, and they're not tears that I fight against, and they're not tears that I think we should wipe away. And those are the tears of awe, when we're in the presence of Almighty God, when we're in the company of the saints that are here and in the company of the transcendent, and we know through our scripture that there is a triumphant company of the saints that are with us every time we're in worship, and those tears overtake us. Someone once wrote that he had walked into church after many years of not being in church at all. He had probably never come after his childhood. And he walked into a church, a place he hadn't known, and he sat down, and as the pastor was giving an impassioned sermon, a little boy handed him a tissue. And he was puzzled, and then he realized his face was wet with tears. Those are the tears of the saints, when we are overcome with the awe and worship of God. That's why I put handkerchiefs in the pews. You notice there's tissues in the pews, because if you can't cry in church, where can you cry? And those are the tears when I think, when we say, those who go out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, and I think tears of joy. So dear friends, when you're frustrated, don't give up. When you're overwhelmed with grief, know that the Holy Spirit of God will undergird you. And when there are times when your life is transported into that heavenly realm, don't worry about the tears. It's our response to the joy and the peace and the transcendent love of God. Let us pray. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy, for God is on his throne. Though you've prayed till it seems that your heart will break, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Lord, Lord, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for your persistence in following us and calling us to you in every stage of our lives. And I pray for that one who came here today in grief, that your presence, your comfort, and your power would be upon them. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.